Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Someone to play harmonium, and also someone to play harmonium. No?
Jai Radha Madhava Kunda Bihari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunda Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Janabalaba Kiribardari. Jaya Gopi Janabalaba Giribardari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Jamuna Thiravanachari. Jamuna Thiravanachari. Jamuna Tiravana Chari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavrindam. Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavrindam. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare, everyone chant.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Jai Om Vishnu Pad Purman Sabari Vilaka Chora Josta Tara Sata Sri Siman His Divine Grace A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Shilu Prabhupada Ki Anant Koti Vaishnavindi Ki Jai Is Confounded Charja Shilu Prabhupada Ki Jai Prem Sikho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadha Shivasali Gaur Bhaktivindi Ki Jai Sisi Radha Krishna Gopinath, Saimakunda Radha Kunda Girigovadan Gize, Sri Vrindavan Dham Gize, Sri Navadipa Dhamma Gize, Gangamayi Gize, Simulamayi Gize, Bhakti Devi Gize, Tulsi Devi Gize, Samaveda Bhaktivinda Gize. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga Nitai Guru Brimanandi Hari Hari Bol. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tanamane
Namaste Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Bhajarane, Navasesha Sunyavati, Pushkati Desitarane. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Guna Bhimani no Deva. Sagadishvasya Yadbhayad. Vartante Anyugam Yesham. Vasa Itat Characharam.
Matiji's like to chant. The modes of material nature. Abhimanina, in charge of. Deva, the demigods. Sarga Adishu, in the matter of creation and so on. Asya, of this world. Yatbayat, out of fear of whom? Vartante, carry out functions. Anuyugam, according to the yugas. Yesham, of whom? Vashe, under the control. Etat, this. Chara acharam, everything animate and inanimate. What is the difference between animate and inanimate? Moving and non-moving, yes? So the animate living entities are those who move, and inanimate means those who don't move. So what is the point of this verse? This vasa etat characharam, that all the moving and non-moving entities, the chara acharam, Vase etat. They are under the control of whom? The Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in between the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Purusha is what factor? Yes, and what's moving the three modes of material nature? And what's moving the demigods? Come on. Maybe no one was in the last 10 classes. Fear. And what's causing the fear? It's time. Yes, was that discussed? Yes or no? The time is moving everything in this world. And kalosmin loka chaya krit. It is unstoppable because it is the energy of this Purusha, of the Supreme Lord, of the Personality of Godhead. It is His energy, and therefore no one can stop the force of time from affecting us. We see in that very spot over there, whose spot, yeah, where you're sitting, whose spot was this? Our Dhanu spot. So when we look at that spot sitting here, we're thinking, it's okay, don't worry. You haven't done anything wrong. But we're thinking that time has moved someone else into his spot. And everyone's spot is temporary. Our place in this world is temporary. Being forcibly moved by time. Srila Prabhupada once was speaking in the very early days, and he said, anyone who thinks that they are free, we all long for freedom, but anyone who thinks that they are free, Prabhupada said, it does not speak well for their sanity. In other words, anyone who thinks that they are free or doing what they want to do is crazy. And then one young lady said, and Prabhupada said, does anyone think that they are free? And one young lady raised her hand. And Prabhupada said, are you free to stop getting older? Are you free to stop your body from getting older and being filled with disease and then ultimately being completely moved from our spot? Because this is the action of Krishna's energy. This is kalosmin, Krishna says, I am that time. Moving onward, every good situation changed. Every bad situation also changed. This is the unstoppable force of time. So therefore, in this verse, everything non-moving and moving is being yad bayat. Whoops, not that one. But this 13, what number? The last, next to last one. Before the guna, the modes of material nature, the demigods, abhimana, that are in charge of the modes of material nature, the deva, guna, abhimana, deva, the demigods, those powerful entities who are in charge of moving the material energy in this world, everything from the blinking of our eyes to the yawning that occurs sometimes during Bhagavatam class. So the demigods are moving that, and Sargadishu, in the matter of creation and so on, creation, destruction,
all this moving, Sageshu Asiyat Bayat, it is done out of fear, obedience, reverence. Vartante Anoyugam Yesham, out of fear, they are doing this work, moving the whole material energy, including us. Although we think we are free, we are being moved and moved and moved. Out of fear, these agencies of Krishna are working. Out of fear of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, yasya etat charachana, and moving, every single moving and non-moving entity, they are being moved around by this, these forces, the devas, who are ultimately doing everything because it is their assigned duty from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when it comes to assigned duties, why do we mostly do them? Out of fear, because they're assigned. We don't want to get into trouble. We don't want this person to get angry at us. We don't want this person to yell at us. Out of fear. So here's the Srila Prabhupada's translation. Out of fear of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the directing demigods in control of the modes of material nature, carry out the functions of creation, maintenance and destruction, everything animate and inanimate within this material world is under their control, and they are controlling things on behalf of the Supreme Lord. Please repeat. Out of fear of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the directing demigods in charge of the modes of material nature carry out the functions of creation, maintenance, and destruction. Yes. Everything animate and inanimate within this material world is under their control. So we see even something very, very strong like marble. The floor that we are sitting on, it is inanimate, but it is under the control of these forces of material nature. And one day, even this strong, hard object, such as the marble, will be crushed into fine powder. Here is Prabhupada's purport. Now please listen carefully, because out of fear of Burijan, I'm going to ask you if you remember anything or what really struck you. So I may even ask you, especially if you're looking, resting very peacefully. So be careful. Listen, please, I'm going to ask if anything struck someone. The three modes of material nature, namely goodness, passion, and ignorance, are under the control of the three deities, Brahma, Vishnu, and Lord Shiva. Lord Vishnu is in charge of the mode of... Lord Brahma is in charge of the mode of... And Lord Shiva is in charge of the mode of ignorance. Similarly, there are many other demigods in charge of the air department, the water department, the cloud department, etc. Just as the government has many different departments, so within this material world, the government of the Supreme Lord has many departments. And all these departments function in proper order, out of fear of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Demigods are undoubtedly controlling all matter, animate and inanimate. Demigods are undoubtedly controlling all of matter, animate and inanimate, within the universe. But above them, the supreme controller is the personality of Godhead. Therefore, in the Brahma Samhita, it is said, Ishvara Parama Krishna. Undoubtedly, there are many controllers in the departmental management of this universe, but the supreme controller is Krishna. There are two kinds of dissolutions. One kind of dissolution takes place when Brahma goes to sleep during his night, and the final dissolution takes place when Brahma dies. As long as Brahma does not die, creation, maintenance, and destruction are actuated by different demigods under the superintendence of the Supreme Lord. Thank you for listening so attentively. Anyone, did anything strike anyone? Raise your hands and I'll call on you. If you remember something and something struck you. Yes, Prabhu. Demigods are controlling everything animate and inanimate. Yes, above them, Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. And what was the verse quoted? Satchida, everyone? Satchida Nanda Vigraha Adya Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. That he, of all causes, he is the ultimate cause, the final cause. It is Krishna. Thank you. Anyone else? Did anything strike anyone? Yes, Paul. Everything in this material nature is being governed. And what word did Prabhupada use? Okay, but there was one word he said, very interesting. Did that, huh? Yes, of course, that's a very interesting group of words. But when he said everything is that word, controlled by demigods, something like that. Undoubtedly. I thought that was very interesting because sometimes especially if we're not brought up with these conceptions, this we doubt that there are actually demigods going on. And because the materialistic scientific concept is there are no demigods, everything is mechanistic. Everything is all cause and effect. I pick this up, and therefore when I drop it, the effect is a sound. Why do we need demigods? The law of gravity and the law of this and the law of that is moving everything around. You don't need any controllers. These laws are all that govern the universe, or all that exists. This is the Newtonian concept. And since this person, Newton, he changed the mind, especially of the Western consciousness. Because then, very quickly, atheistical physics became very powerful. And no concept of God, and slowly, even though Newton himself was a humble man and a theistical person, very quickly, the concept of God was seen as not necessary because everything is mechanical. You pick this up and drop it and that happens. You pick that up, you move this. But what do we say in response to that? Or what is one thing we can say? We can say, okay, I surrender. There is no need for God, but I don't think we will say that. Yes. Yes, there must be a lawmaker. And as this was picked up by a person, and then it is dropped by a person. So there is a person behind it. There is a person ultimately behind everything. There is a person. There is nothing that happens just automatically by chance. There is a person behind everything. Has anyone experienced ever something just happening and there is no force behind it making it happen? No. There is no experience like that. So one, to believe that there is no supreme, to be an atheist requires more faith, more blind faith than it takes to be a devotee. More faith is required to be an atheist because it's against all experience. But that wasn't the subject of the purport at all. All the rest. What, Prabhu, you were saying? I interrupted you. Excuse me. What? Yes, sorry. There are various demigods in charge of all departments. Yes. Yes. It's controlled by personages, personalities, individuals, who in turn are controlled by other individuals, just like a government. And in a government, there is one person ultimately in charge. And the one person in charge of this government is, of the universe, is... No, it's not Krishna. It is Krishna's expansion. Kala Angsa. Krishna doesn't take care of the business of controlling the material world because, why? He likes to play the flute too much. And he likes to enjoy with his devotees. And he's such a good manager that he can just play all day long just as he wants. This is the perfection of management. You just do what you want and no one will bother you. And you delegate everything so perfectly. You know who else was such a good manager? I mean, not that the devotees here aren't good managers, but you know who was a really good manager? Maharaj Ambarish. Because all day long he would do his puja and be completely engaged with every one of his senses, and not only his senses, but also, yes, the most unruly, difficult to control of all the senses, the mind. He fully engaged himself in worshiping the deities and had his ministers do everything. And yet, because he was such a great devotee, because he was such a powerful devotee, the kingdom worked perfectly. Great manager. But Maharaj Ambarish wasn't the subject of this purport. What was the subject of this, of the verse in purport? We've already said it, but who? Yes, fear. Fear of time and ultimately of Krishna. Now why in the Srimad Bhagavatam and this whole section it's talking about everything is moving out of fear of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The whole section here is talking about how everything, the whole creation, and in the previous verse, in this verse, the modes of material nature, the creation, the universe, everything is under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this chapter is entitled, it's about Kapila Muni's teachings about devotional service. So what is the connection between everything is moving out of fear of the Lord, or everything is ultimately under the control of the Lord, and devotional service? What is the connection between that and the devotional service, which earlier in the chapter Kapila Muni is explaining is sufficient? Bhaktyamam nabhi jananti yavanyas chasmi sattvata. It is sufficient, and the only way to actually know Krishna, to realize Krishna, to go to his place in the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan. It is only through devotional service. So what is the connection between, first of all, the point that everything in this world is under the control of the Supreme Lord, and second of all, fear? What are the connection between those two points in devotional service? Raise your hands. Yes, Prabhu. Yes, that also means, thank you, when everything is under the control of Krishna, we should voluntarily surrender to him, because already we are under his control. No, I'm not under anyone's control. I'm free. That statement doesn't speak well for my sanity if I think that I'm not being controlled. We are already under the control of Krishna. Now, what do we do with that fact? Whether we like it or we don't like it, Mama Eva Angso Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta, this is who we are. All the living entities, we are his part and parcel, and we are under his control. We may like it and we may not like it, but that is a reality. And if you don't like reality, it doesn't make any difference at all. That doesn't change reality. Just like if I decide I don't like the principle that this pillar, this column is here, and I'm just going to walk through it. Does the fact that I don't like that it's here change the fact that it is indeed here? No. And instead of walking through it, when I try to fight with reality, I end up with a very severe headache only. When we try to fight reality, go against reality, we lose always. It is a fight we cannot win. It is called Maya or illusion when we try to go against what's real. So what is real, as we are saying, is that we are under the control of Krishna. And not only that, we serve Krishna. We cannot avoid serving Krishna, either directly or indirectly. One of the first questions I asked Prabhupada was that. I said, you say that we can't avoid serving, not, I didn't say it in such a bold way, but it was a little bit showing off my how clever I am. I said, you said to Prabhupada that we either serve Krishna, we can't avoid serving Krishna, we either serve him willingly or unwillingly, directly or indirectly. So why should I become a devotee? I'm already serving Krishna. I'm so intelligent. Good argument, yes? You like that one. Why should I become, if we have to serve Krishna, I'm already serving Krishna, what is the problem? And do you think Prabhupada said, oh, very intelligent? No, he didn't say very intelligent. He said, if you serve Krishna directly, which means willingly, and with especially with devotion, with love, then you are happy. And if you serve him unwillingly, unconsciously, with enmity, Krishna bhule se jivanadi bahyamukh, turning our back on Krishna, thinking we are independent, we are still serving Krishna, but we will not be happy. So this is the process of devotional service, the process of turning towards Krishna from Bahyamukh to Samukh, turning towards Krishna and willingly, happily serving Him, because everyone, everything is already serving Him. It's completely natural. It's completely natural that we serve Krishna, and it's completely unnatural if we avoid His service or try to avoid His service. We cannot do it. We are fighting reality. So therefore, Kapila Muni has glorified devotional service. So why should we serve Krishna? In illusion, I'm thinking, and this is what ahankar means, practically speaking. It means that in illusion, I am thinking that everyone should serve me. This is what the function of false ego basically is. To give us the illusion that I am in the center of existence. That I am so important. The essential person in existence. It's me. Everyone should laugh. If I was sitting here and telling you that, everyone would just laugh and walk out. But yet everyone is thinking like that. Of course, very few will be so bold to preach this, that I am the center and the most important person in the universe is me. And everyone should cooperate together to facilitate my pleasure. It's funny, yes? Everyone will laugh because it's so crazy. But yet, everyone is thinking like that. This is the mood that is placed in the consciousness when we turn our back on Krishna. This is the functioning of ahankara. Ahankara vimudatma. Kartaham, I am the doer. And why everyone in this world is in so much anxiety is because we cannot, because the universe and the people within the universe refuse to cooperate with my false ego, this ahankar. So therefore so much anxiety. So we want to turn towards Krishna. We want to turn towards Krishna because the time of our life is running out. And it is not just me who it's running out on, I assure you. It's everyone, everyone, everyone. And time, it is Krishna's chakra. And through time, everything in material existence will be crushed into very fine powder. From the marble to the body to my wealth, to my family, to my house, to my everything, my glasses, my bead bag, everything crushed into powder, fine powder. And then distributed all over the world. And I'm trying to be happy in that circumstance. And to try to think I can be happy in that circumstance, I have to put myself into so much maya, so much illusion. Forgetting. Illusion means arguing with reality and thinking you're going to win. Illusion means trying to do that which is impossible. So the Bhagavatam, not exactly in this section, but in the next chapter, and then also in the next chapter after that, there's going to be great discussion, very powerful discussion about the workings of time in relationship to fear and moving souls through their bodies again and again and again, accumulating, born, growing, accumulating, dwindling, dying, born, growing, again and again and again and again and again. But usually we don't perceive it because we see it happening slowly in small segments. But the Bhagavatam will convince us that this indeed is reality, not the illusion that my body will last forever. That is not reality, even though I tend to think that way. This is the illusion that infects every conditioned soul. We tend to think that our body will last forever and the situation will last forever. This is called Maya. So the Bhagavatam wishes to turn us from Maya thinking, illusory thinking, to real thinking. Turn us towards acknowledging that we are everything worships Krishna, everything is under the control of Krishna, and we also are under the control of Krishna. And we should serve Krishna. So these parts that show us, parts of the Bhagavatam that show us the very, very powerful aspects of Krishna, they are parts of the Bhagavatam that are placing important concepts in our mind, in our consciousness, important and purifying concepts to take us step by step by step by step to where? To Krishna, but even a little more specific, to Golok Vrindavan. Yes, to Vrindavan, to Radha Shyamasunda Krishna Balaram Gornitai. Towards loving service there. Towards service that is dominated less by fear, but dominated by a special loving attachment to the service of Krishna and the mood of Vrindavan. The Bhagavatam brings us step by step by step by step to the smiling face of Krishna, the 10th canto, which is Vrindavan. But we should take it step by step by step by step by step, so that everything is carefully in place. Because the worst thing is to go like this, strongly to one side, and then go boom, strongly back to the other side. Back and forth. We don't want to be like that. We should know what the goal is, and we should gradually, under proper guidance, step by step, move towards the smiling face of Krishna. From his lotus feet to being captivated by Madhuram, 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 the very sweet smiling face of Krishna. So let me read the verse again. Out of fear of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the directing demigods in charge of the modes of material nature carry out the function of creation, maintenance, and destruction. Everything animate and inanimate within this material world is under their control. That everything in this world, including me, am I animate or inanimate? Huh? Yes, even when I'm sitting here, I'm also like, no one, even when we're sleeping in class, we still move. We're all animate. We're all animate. So we are under the control of the demigods, and the demigods are under the control of Krishna. So we are under the control of Krishna. We want to change from being under his control, from indirect to direct, from without devotion and with enmity, which is the conditioned soul, with big, big false ego, to being very, very humble, loving servants of Krishna. We want to make very deep changes in our consciousness. Now let me ask you a question. How do we do that? Because it's after a while, we master, just like a little child can sit in the Bhagavatam class. And when his mind wanders, his body starts doing different things. He hasn't learned how to be a hypocrite yet. But we learn how to, when our mind is wandering, just make sure that your body doesn't move around too much and everything, because we let our minds wander everywhere. And when our minds wander from our service, we don't get the result. Like Maharaj Ambarish, first of all, he applied his mind. First of all, he applied his mind to the service of the lotus feet of Krishna. And then he served with everything else. So what is the process? And then he gets the result. The deepest transformation of the heart, which comes from a turning, an actual full turning to Krishna. So how do we do that? We who tend to master hypocrisy. Yes, thank you. I'm glad someone is going to answer this question for me. Train our intelligence by hearing. Thank you. Any other advice for me? Yes, Prabhu. Serving someone who has already changed. Thank you. Also very good advice. Yes, Prabhu. What? Why? Yes. Reading Bhagavatam, yes, because there we get very powerful association. Thank you. What else? Any other more? Please. Did you have? No? You? I thought you were. Yeah? Please, I need some more. Yes, thank you. Following sadhana bhakti. Thank you. By giving the Bhagavatam class to us. Okay? You should give the Bhagavatam class to us more often. But it's true. There is a truth in that. That preaching is so important. It's an essential part of our own spiritual advancement. But it doesn't mean, preaching doesn't only mean sitting on the asana and giving class, but it means talking about Krishna, kirtanam. And it's important to preach, to speak to each other about Krishna. And it doesn't mean that we have to speak to a big group about Krishna, but at least someone. I know one devotee who was going to Delhi. Actually, it was Jagatini Mataji, Amastri. She one day was going to Delhi, and you know, when you have to leave Vrindavan and go to Delhi, oh, that's not very, no offense to any Delhi Wallahs or anyone here, but it's not, you don't think, oh, I'm so wonderful, today I'm going to Delhi.
She had something to do. And what did she? And so she actually prayed to Krishna, please send me someone to preach to talk about Krishna to. And Krishna did do that. It's so important to speak about Krishna, to help others. Even one time Prabhupada said that the secret of preaching is speaking from your own realization. And if all you can say is, oh, I like this chanting of Hare Krishna, it's very nice. If that's all you can say, if that's honestly your realization, Prabhupada said, then it will have power and potency. Oh, these boys and girls are very nice. They're chanting, it's nice. If that's actually your realization, if you speak that, it will have power. So what is your realization about Krishna? Think about that also. Think, what is my actual feel, what is my thoughts, my deepest thoughts about Krishna? Be introspective and think about these things. What stops me from moving forward to Vrindavan? To actually becoming a devotee. To actually turning towards Krishna. What if I change one thing? What one thing, if I change in my own life personally, will make the most effect and help me step forward? These questions we ask ourselves. Okay. Any other questions or comments?
You were telling that how the purification of the heart will take place, that question you asked,
yes.
And the answer.
But the answers were so nice.
Okay.
Of course, chanting Hare Krishna also, and avoiding offenses. Chanting Japa Kirtan, Kirtaniya Sadahari, Nasteva 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 Gatiyanayata. Praying for the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, Nitai Gaur, praying for the mercy of Krishna Balaram, Rala Shamasunda, Lalita Vishaka, serving the Vaishnavas, humble service in right consciousness. Do something for the pleasure of others, other devotees. Try to remove, at least sometime during the day, I'm doing this just to please others, instead of everything centered around what's going to bring me happiness. Service to Guru and Vaishnavas, so many things. Our whole process is this. And of course, out of the items that Srila Rupa Goswami mentions, five are most, he says, are most important. Srimad Bhagavatam Shravan, Sadhu Sangha, Nama Kirtan, Srimad Bhagavatam Shravan, worshipping the deity with faith, and what's the fifth one? Or again? So lucky. You're so lucky. Just by attending the temple program, we're doing all five. So lucky, living in Sri Vrindavan Dham. Is that okay? Any other questions or comments?
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Many times Prabhupada mentioned 99% of our advancement will come by chanting holy name. So how can one develop this taste toward the holy name? What is the secret?
I know that Prabhupada said that one time, as far as I know. But not many. He didn't stress that was going. He stressed a balanced program. But of course, ultimately, the holy name is so important that it should accompany every other devotional activity that we do.
That's the instruction of Srila Jiva Goswami. That the holy name is so important. Everything else we do should be accompanied by kirtan and or the holy name. What was your question again exactly?
How one should develop the taste?
How should one do? There's many other devotees much more qualified to answer that question than me. But we know by association, by doing it, and especially on the negative side, don't offend Nama Prabhu. There are 10 offenses against the holy name. If we don't offend Nama Prabhu and keep good association with those who have the taste, a good taste, more taste than us, then Nama Prabhu will bless us with taste. But kirtan is so powerful that even those who don't have taste will get taste. What do you think? Humble. Huh?
I don't know.
I also don't know. But this is what I've heard. Yes.
Prabhuji, you are talking about hypocrisy. So how to avoid this?
Just one second. But this is a good thing to ask 10 devotees today. Prabhu, how can I get a taste in the holy names? You ask the devotees who you think can who can help you with this. It's a very good topic for association with devotees. How can I improve my japa? How can I increase my taste in the holy names? Very good question. To discuss with the devotees also. Because when you ask that question, it makes me think the same thing. How can I improve my own taste in the holy names? Thank you. Yes.
You were talking about hypocrisy. If we don't have something, then we are exhibiting something else outside. How does it imply? Means, how does it in preaching? How does it not be there? How will it should not be there?
How to remove hypocrisy from our
hypocrisy
heart?
Hypocrisy in preaching.
In preaching. One way is to not say anything. Ever. Another way is to try to practice what we preach. And because naturally we see our own hypocrisy, we can fool others easily, but we see our own hypocrisy, then a little bit of humility can help. It should be in our dealings. Because we know better than anyone else. Maybe someone criticizes us for one thing, and of course I defend, but I know better than anyone else how bad the situation actually is. So a little humility is helpful. So we've been ordered to preach, so what to do? And yet, we see that the true level is so high. What to do? So we take a straw between our teeth and we, on order, we preach and speak about Krishna. But that very thing is purifying for us too. Because if everyone else, if you're giving a class, everyone else can fall asleep, but you can't when you're speaking. Although I've seen sometimes people actually do. But there's one famous story that one devotee was giving class and He fell asleep in the class. And he woke up and everyone else was also asleep. Maybe the devotees are just working too hard in their service. But at least they do everything together in oneness. It's nice. Any other questions or comments? And then we end.
First in the class you mentioned that we should ourselves, we should willingly surrender to Krishna. But the genuine willingness is not there in the heart. So how to get it?
And then if we force, if someone else forces us to surrender to Krishna, is that real surrender?
That leads to rebellion.
Huh? Yeah, so. So you're saying, should I surrender to Krishna if I don't want to? Is that sort of the question in one sense? Huh? Very difficult question. No, you shouldn't. Go home. Back to home. Back to Godhead. No, of course. But that's why the whole purpose is to make a change in consciousness so that we want to, that every moment where we're not giving ourselves to Krishna with devotion becomes torture for us. We want to increase tatraloyam api muhyam ekalam. We want to increase the desire because Krishna is all attractive and look what I'm attracted to. Look what I want to do instead of willingly give myself to Krishna. Shunya, janya, shunya, bisha kainu. I want to drink poison. I'm willingly want to do that. So the willingness or unwillingness very much is a function of my crazy mind at any particular moment. And if I only surrender to my crazy mind, then my situation is very, very dangerous. So sometimes we have to push ourselves, as Prabhu said, someone, about intelligence. Yes, by intelligence, we should have the shastra chakshusha. By our intelligence, we should become convinced, and the mind sometimes has to be pushed. But ultimately, we want to become attracted and spontaneously attracted to serving and loving and giving ourselves to devotionally to Krishna. I think they're trying to tell me the class is going too long and it's over. Or they'll break the roof. Okay. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gonatai ki jai, Sisi Krishna Balarama ki jai, Sisi Radhashama Sunda ki jai, Nitai Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai. So you ask devotees that question?